Let's take a moment to pray and then we'll look at the Bible together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us, and we pray that this morning, as we consider the wisdom of the Proverbs and the words of Jesus, that you would challenge our hearts and shape our very lives. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. There is a lot of talk these days about post-pandemic work-life balance and what it's going to look like. I mentioned in Scott's Weekly on Friday that Jonathan and Murray and I in the office joined a webcast last Thursday where the team from McCrindle Research rolled out some stats on the impact of COVID on our cities. People, of course, are moving out. They are looking for lifestyle locations with good NBN, keen for a slower life, no more commute. Moving to what they called blue spaces, with sky and water and views. Did you know that's why Byron Bay real estate is more expensive than even Sydney or Melbourne? In a way, maybe one of the good things that COVID brought is a reassessment of what's important. Although, of course, there's always the prospect that for some of us, working from home means living life mainly in your pyjamas. Or a Zoom suit. You know the Zoom suit? Basically only has a top half and the bottom half is shorts. Which, by the way, we noticed as we wandered around the outer courts at the tennis a couple of weeks back, is exactly how the TV presenters really do it. Jacket and tie on top, shorts and thongs on the bottom. And if you're watching this service on YouTube this morning, I guess you'll never really know if that's what I'm wearing here today. A pre-COVID survey said that one in every four employees in Australia worked more than 50 hours a week pre-COVID. One in 10 worked more than 60 hours a week pre-COVID. Maybe that's changed. And if you're a worker, you're working less now. Or maybe working from home means for you working all the time, no time off. Either way, for many people, work-life balance is an incredibly difficult balancing act. If that is you, it's worth hearing some wisdom from Proverbs this morning. Mind you, if that's not you because you're lazy, you need to hear from Proverbs as well, because this is a part of the Bible that covers both ends of the scale. Over the past few weeks, if you've been with us, we've been looking at some key themes from this part of the Old Testament. It's part of the Bible that's loaded with clever little sayings, with proverbs, that are meant originally to guide God's people Israel in wise living. And even though so many of these proverbs are geared for the Israelites nearly 3,000 years ago, the sort of wisdom they describe is alive and well in 21st century Australia. And the sort of foolishness it describes is alive and well as well. Last week we looked at marriage. Today we go to work. Or maybe we don't. Because the first point we've got to notice as we think about workplace wisdom is the guy or girl who most times doesn't bother to go to work at all. Proverbs talks often about this particular type of fool known as the sluggard, who can't really be bothered, like that slow-moving garden mollusk. Sluggish. Although in the Australian vernacular we'd more often use words like slacker or bludger. Or maybe the guy spending all his time gaming on the Xbox, or the girl, stereotype alert again, sorry. spending all her time on Snapchat or swiping Insta. You can reverse the genders if you want to. But there are loads of proverbs that warn about the foolishness of being a sluggard, and that paint a picture, if you need it, of what a sluggard looks like, which rings just as true, I think, 3,000 years after these words were written. Proverbs chapter 26, there's a series of four proverbs in a row that have all got this same theme. Because the sluggard is very good at making fine-sounding excuses. I'll see them on the screen in a moment. I've got to say, before we come to the first one, there was slightly more chance of meeting a lion in the street in ancient Israel than there is in modern Melbourne. But not much. But here he is, the sluggard, trapped in his house by the fear of a remote possibility. Take a look on the screen, Proverbs 26 from verse 13. The sluggard says, "There's a lion in the road, a fierce lion roaming the streets." Now, I don't know if you're an excuse maker or if you know one, perhaps. Maybe there is some wisdom here, you see, in dealing with the fear of statistically insignificant dangers, which is something we've all had to tangle with in the pandemic, isn't it? Does life keep going or not? Where is the statistical point where you go out and risk it? It's a matter of wisdom. But this, you see, is more about the sluggard who is just making excuses. If you're a working person, don't know if your boss is waiting for your call on a Monday to say you're not going to be in at work because your dog ate your bus ticket or your car won't start. One office I read about kept a dead granny file to track how many times each employee took time off for their grandmother's funeral. They reckon when it gets to about six, it's stretching it, even allowing for blended families these days. And if the excuses are all about the remote but possible things that could go wrong, then Proverbs says maybe you are being a sluggard. Maybe, of course, it's just that you like your bed, like in verse 14 of the same chapter. As a door turns on its hinges, so a sluggard turns on his bed. Just hit the snooze button one more time and turn over, and life's responsibilities will just fade away. See, this is wisdom Jordan Peterson style that's taken the world by storm in the last few years. If you're depressed, Jordan Peterson says, get up and make your bed. At least you've achieved something for the day. Proverbs is full of that kind of practical wisdom. Actually, you'll see in verse 15 of this same chapter that this particular sluggard is so lazy, he'll happily starve himself to death. The sluggard, says verse 15, buries his hand in the dish. He's too lazy to bring it back to his mouth. So lazy, he can hardly be bothered feeding himself. Which, when you put it like that, of course, sounds ridiculous. But it's actually a very clear snapshot of what laziness actually is. Too lazy to make it out of bed, to get to school, to get the grades, to get the job you really wanted. So you end up with the job that you didn't really want. You're too lazy to get out of bed, to get to the office, which bugs the boss who downgrades your performance review, drops your pay, so it gets even harder to get out of bed. So you lose the job, and you wonder how you'll put the food on the table for the family. In which case, you see, you've been too lazy to feed yourself as well. Just one small step at a time. Which is the same point made by Proverbs 20, verse 4. A sluggard does not plough in season, so at harvest time he looks and says, oh, there's nothing there. You didn't plough. You didn't sow the seeds. Why do you expect a crop? Or the one who says this, Proverbs 18, verse 19. One who is slack in his work is brother to one who destroys. Stuart Lane was driving on Sydney's M5 motorway just last Tuesday when a toolbox flew off the back of the ute in front of him and smashed into his windscreen at 100 kilometres an hour. Police say Stewart is lucky to be alive. They've investigated. They've actually cleared the driver of the ute in front of him. But the news report says that officers are investigating the business where the toolbox was professionally installed. Because obviously it wasn't professionally installed at all. Someone was slack in their work. Substandard materials, maybe, or didn't bother to double-check the fitting. See, if you're looking for some practical workplace wisdom, Proverbs says, step number one, don't be a sluggard. People like that are just like destroyers. Now, there's an opposite in Proverbs for the sluggard. The opposite, of course, of the lazy worker is the diligent worker, and a whole lot of Proverbs draw the contrast. To be diligent means to pay attention to detail, to be careful, to be consistently reliant and reliable and hard-working. So take a look at these if you can see the screen and see how every time you've got opposites, laziness and diligence. Lazy hands make a man poor or a woman. But diligent hands bring wealth. Diligent hands will rule, but laziness ends in slave labour. The lazy man does not roast his game, but the diligent man prizes his possessions. The sluggard craves and gets nothing, but the desires of the diligent are fully satisfied, Proverbs 21. The plans of the diligent lead to profit, as surely as haste leads to poverty. Which means in the end that lazy shortcuts don't pay. Here's the summary, I guess. If you want to rule, if you want to be wealthy, if you want to be satisfied, if you want to be profitable, life's wisdom is very simple. You will need to be diligent. You'll need to be hardworking and faithful. And little by little, all things being equal, you'll do well. Now, of course, the book of Proverbs, as we've seen, never offers an ironclad guarantee against stock market crashes or the poor work of the guy who didn't attach the toolbox or the bad debts from your customers that bring you to your knees or the pandemic that closes the city. But in the kind of rule of thumb life wisdom that God is giving his people to pass on to their children, this is the way life usually works. Avoid laziness, work faithfully. Which is all summed up in what in my younger days at least was one of the kind of famous proverbs that had broken out of the book of Proverbs and had a life of its own. I remember my dad used to quote it every time he'd find me reading a book on the bed. The proverb that said, "Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise." Which then goes on to say this as well. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a bandit. Scarcity like an armed man. The ant doesn't need a boss, it says, constantly hounding him. The ant needs no alarm clock to prod her out of bed in the morning. You don't catch the ant making feeble excuses. So the ant family pantry is always full, the model of diligence. You know, though, where I think wisdom lies in all of this? Wisdom lies in knowing when enough is enough. Because that's the problem, isn't it? Don't we so often fall for one extreme or the other? We're strange creatures, at least I am, if I speak for myself. It seems that it's so easy on the one hand to be lazy, and on the other hand, almost equally easy to end up a workaholic. And because of that, to sacrifice your family, to sacrifice your relationships, to sacrifice your health, chasing after a wealth that is far beyond anything Proverbs was even dreaming of. And so real wisdom lies in knowing when enough is enough, knowing where to draw the line, and knowing in the end where real value lies, which is what it says so well in Proverbs 23, verse 4. Don't wear yourself out to get rich. Have the wisdom to show restraint, which is where I think so many of us are lacking. So what can you say about a wise work-life balance? Well, whatever you do, don't be a sluggard, because the sluggard is a fool and ends up being a poor fool. But you know, before we finish, it's worth remembering that you can just as easily be a rich fool, which is maybe even worse. Because when you turn to the wisdom of Jesus, you'll see a clear reminder from him that there is much more to life than your work and your wealth. That your real value is not even remotely connected to your net worth on a bank statement. Your eternal value. And so, like the farmer we've come to know in the story of the rich fool, it is never smart to gain the whole world if you lose your soul. It's there in Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, where a man in the crowd says to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." I don't know if you've ever been caught in an inheritance dispute, but you'll see they're nothing new. This guy wants to drag his brother in front of Jesus and get Jesus to straighten him out and make him share the money. To which Jesus says, "Don't you know there's something more important than that?" Besides, he says, "Who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" And then he tells them this parable. He says to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Man's life doesn't consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he tells them this parable to illustrate. The ground of a certain rich man produces a really good crop. He thinks to himself, "What'll I do? I've got nowhere to store my crops." Then he says to himself, "Here's what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and I'll build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and all my goods, and I'll say to myself, you've got plenty of good things laid up for many years. Retire. Take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry." God says to him, Luke 12, verse 20, "You fool. You know the words that come at the end of that old proverb, don't you?" He says, "This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who'll get what you've prepared for yourself? It'll probably just be two sons fighting with each other over the inheritance. You've chased after wealth. You've been so very diligent. You were up at the crack of dawn every day. You're a self-made man or a self-made woman. You've got everything you ever dreamed of. But what if tonight you're going to die? Who wins then?" Jesus says, verse 21, "This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God. That is the rich fool, so diligent becoming wealthy that he forgot to invest in eternal things. So busy filling his barns that he forgets to put any time and energy into investing in the kingdom of God. Too busy for compassion, too busy for the needs of anyone else, too busy for the poor, too busy fighting over inheritances and deals, too busy for Jesus, too busy for love, much too busy to spend time in church." And then he dies and meets his maker, who to that point he's had no time for at all. Remember that big theme we've seen already in Proverbs? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. When you're thinking about your career, if you're younger, when you're thinking about work-life balance, start there. Or maybe you're someone exactly at that same point of the foolish rich farmer, sitting back and relaxing, looking at your nice full barns, thinking, how can I get even more? Remember the danger of gaining everything but losing your soul. I wonder how you're going with that. It's a timely word of wisdom, maybe. Maybe you're one way, maybe the other. So how about finding that balance before it's too late? Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do pray that by your Spirit you would grant us wisdom in these very important things that so many of us struggle with day by day and week by week. Help us to value what is most valuable. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.